Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you wonderful. Something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Philippians and will be continuing today with part two of Faithful Servants. So let's turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, verse 20, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Timothy was the one that Paul was looking to continue the work that he had begun. And so here he says, I'm trusting to send him to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. And now this is what he says about Timothy here to the Philippians. He says, for I have no one like-minded who will sincerely or genuinely care for your state. So here we see that Timothy was an extraordinary young man. And Paul goes on and he's lamenting here in a sense, because he's saying that I don't have anyone else like Timothy, because all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. So this is really the distinction. Timothy sought the Lord. He sought the things of God. He took the word of God seriously. He took the idea of a call upon his life seriously. And he said, Lord, do something with my life. And that's what made the difference. And that so often is really where the battle lies. It's the battle between self and Christ. Am I going to live for my own things, or am I going to live for the things of Jesus? Am I going to give myself over to the things of the Spirit, or am I going to hold back because I've got my own plans and I've got my own agenda? Now, it's interesting because notice Paul isn't saying that those who seek their own, he's not saying they're not believers. And he's contrasting Timothy. He's really talking about Timothy as being unique in this regard. He says, I don't have anyone that's like-minded like Timothy. Well, there were lots of other Christians, but he's looking among the Christians. So he's not saying these people aren't Christians. He's just saying that these Christians aren't really seeking Christ as they should. Instead, they're seeking their own things. And that's my point. I think today, if we who are in the church would simply stop seeking our own things and start really seeking Christ, that in and of itself would transform the church. That in and of itself would make a huge difference. If every single believer had the mentality that, man, I want to give everything to the Lord. I want to be sold out to the Lord. I want to do God's will with my life, whatever that looks like, whatever that might be, on my job, in my profession, in the community that I'm in, with the people that I run with or whatever. Lord, I want to be your man. I want to be your woman. You know, if we would do that, that right there would solve so many problems. Because, man, when you have a church that's on fire, when you have people that are on fire for Christ and living for the Lord and experiencing the power of the Spirit of God and the leading of the Spirit of God, when you have that happening, man, you have transformation going on. You have people getting saved. You have lives being changed. You have people being renewed. And that starts to work its way into families. That starts to work its way into the community. And That's how real change takes place. The change needs to be made in the soul of our society, and the way that happens is through the power of the gospel, and the way the gospel gets into society is through God's people who are filled with the Spirit who go out and impact. So Timothy was a guy like that. He was one of those type of people, and I love what Paul says about him. He says, you know, he's a person who genuinely, sincerely, and you could also translate it, naturally cares for your state. Timothy was a person who was serious about the things of God. Now, of course, in the context here, Timothy is alongside of Paul. He's his assistant, if you will. He's serving with Paul. But Paul says, you know, here's a man who his inclination is for the things of the Lord. And I don't have anybody else really like him. He says, but you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. So the Philippians had seen themselves, what Paul is saying about Timothy. They had observed that in his life when he was there with the Apostle Paul. He says, so therefore I hope to send him at once as soon as I see how it goes with me, but I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come to you shortly. Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. So here's another person. We've got Timothy, and now Paul is going to talk about another man here. He's talking about this man, Epaphroditus. He wasn't necessarily a preacher like Timothy was. He might have been, but it doesn't specifically say that. But he was just there as a servant. He was just there as a helper to assist in the needs of the apostle. And he was from the Philippian church. And so Paul says, I'm sending Epaphroditus. He's really sending him back. My brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need. You know, there's nothing so sweet and so wonderful as to serve God alongside of men who they're there with you in the trenches, so to speak, as fellow soldiers. They're there with you as, you know, as fellow workers, as you're building. But more than that, they're brothers. That is a wonderful thing. It's a sweet, sweet thing when like-minded people serve the Lord together, when men whose hearts have been knit together by the love of Christ, man, there's just something so wonderful and so sweet about that. And that was Paul and Epaphroditus. He loved this man. This man was a blessing to him. And so he was the one that had come from Philippi, the one who ministered to his need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you heard that he was sick. He was sick. For indeed, he was sick, Paul says, almost unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord. So you see, Paul is exhorting them, receive Epaphroditus in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem. Why? Because for the work of Christ, he came close to death, not regarding his own life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. So this man, Epaphroditus, serving the Lord diligently, laboring to the point of exhaustion, coming to a place of sickness in his service, and to the threshold of death itself. So here's a man who's serving the Lord, but he's fallen sick, and he almost dies. Now, something here that I find interesting is Paul's comments on his feelings about the circumstances with Epaphroditus. And this is what I find interesting. Notice he says here, he says he was sick almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Now, here's what I find interesting. Regarding Epaphroditus, that the fact that he didn't die was God showing mercy to him, but not only mercy to Epaphroditus, but Paul says he showed mercy upon me as well, lest I should be overcome with sorrow upon sorrow. And this is the point that I want to make. The point that I want to make is that the Bible blends the natural and the spiritual together. And we need to understand that there is a place for our humanity still as believers. And I say that because sometimes people tend to be really insensitive when it comes to human grief or human pain or human suffering. It's like we don't allow for people to be human beings. He's thanking God that Epaphroditus didn't die. Now, Paul knew that Epaphroditus was going to go to heaven. He knew that to depart and be with Christ was far better, as we just said. But yet, Paul also knew that to lose Epaphroditus would be devastating to him. It would be a heartbreaking thing. And so he says, you know, God had mercy on me and even on Epaphroditus. So, of course, ultimately, to go to heaven it's the best thing. And we're all going to go there at some point. But when that happens, there is the natural response that is perfectly legitimate, that we grieve, that we experience pain. And it's not a lack of spirituality. It's not because we're not, you know, focused on the right thing and we're being carnal in our perspective. It's just because this is the way it is. And this is the way we are. And it's okay to be this way. And to be other than this would be unnatural. It would be wrong. You know, if somebody lost somebody that they deeply loved and they had no emotion over it, it didn't faze them. Oh, yeah. Oh, what the heck? They went to heaven. Didn't bother me, you know. Oh, yeah, my kids were killed, but, you know, they're with the Lord now, so what do I care, you know? Now, you know, there are people that have that kind of attitude. But, you know, it's not really real. We can be human. We are human. And it's okay to express human emotion and feeling. And, you know, this is what one of the things that I so appreciate about the Bible. And, you know, if we just stay in the Word enough, and if we get to know it well, then it shapes our lives, and it brings us to a place of maturity, and it brings us to a place of wholeness, and it brings us to a place of realizing that, you know, this is okay. And we then are able to more effectively minister to people. We're able to weep with those who weep. We're not to rebuke those who weep, we're to weep with those who weep. And we're able to rejoice with those who rejoice. Those are the things that the Scriptures tell us. And so Paul is rejoicing that the Lord spared Epaphroditus. But he says, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness and hold such men in esteem. Why? Because for the work of Christ, he came close to death. For the work of Christ, he came close to death. How willing are we today in our generation to put ourselves out for the work of Christ? I mean, you know, here's a guy who, for the work of Christ, he came close to death. I mean, sometimes coming close to death, that's the farthest thing from the thing that's inconveniencing us. You know, I can't do that for the Lord because they don't have a Starbucks there. People do think that way. People say things like that. And it seems that, you know, we do live in a comfort-oriented culture, don't we? And a lot of times that's what it's become about. Well, how comfortable is this going to be for me? Is this going to inconvenience me? And if it is, then, well, you know, I can't really be bothered with that. I can't be put out to that. So, you know, hey, I want to serve the Lord, but look, here's my schedule. You know, I got a lot of stuff going on in my life. And let's see, I think I could fit in just, you know, maybe an hour right there. What do you think? No, I don't think so. That's not going to do. No, you see, we've got to be willing to go further than that. We've got to be willing to be inconvenienced. We've got to be willing to say, you know, Lord, it doesn't, my comfort isn't at the top of the priority list. And here with Epaphroditus, here is a man who, for the work of Christ, he comes close to death, not regarding his own life. Now, there certainly are people that are like this today, but you know, we all need to be more like this. There have been previous generations of Christians who had a more, to them, there was a devotion that was deeper. There was a sense of honor in the fact that, you know, I'm going to go and I'm going to serve the Lord and I'm going to give whatever it takes to give. And even if I have to give my very life, I'm going to go do it. And you know, in some places in the world today, in order for the gospel to go there and to prosper, that will be what it will take. But previous generations of Christians have done that. They've gone knowing full well, you know, back in the 1800s, when they were, the pioneer missionaries into Africa, for example, so many of them died just because of the diseases, malaria, you know, different things like that, the challenges of the jungles and so forth. But those who went and died, they knew going into it that was a possibility. And as I mentioned before, part of what they would take with them would be a coffin, because they fully expected at some point to give themselves for the Lord in those places. And these were the pioneers. These were the people who went in and paved the way. And their commitment is commendable. The question is, do we have that kind of commitment today? Epaphroditus, he was a man who, for the work of Christ, came close to death, not regarding his own life. Remember what Jesus said? He said, if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose it for my sake, you'll keep it for eternal life. And many times over, the Lord would remind us of this necessity. It has to be our mentality. You know, there very well could come a time in our future when our lives would be threatened. There could come a time when our lives could be taken from us. It's not an impossibility. It's not that it could never happen. We know that in the future, we know that in the tribulation period and so forth, we know that multitudes will give their lives for Christ during that time. And so it's a matter of the heart, and it's a matter of being prepared in our hearts that if that's the direction things are going, then that's just what we do. We come close to death if need be. We don't regard our own life. Paul would speak of others who risked their necks for the gospel's sake. Are we willing to do that today? Are we willing to step out of the comfort zone? Are we willing to just be inconvenienced for the Lord? We certainly ought to be. We certainly have many great examples of those who were, and that was Epaphroditus, who did not regard his own life to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. So Paul's not rebuking the Philippians for what was lacking. It was simply that they used Epaphroditus as their messenger to get to Paul the things that he needed. But in the course of that, he almost died. And so here with these two men, Timothy and Epaphroditus, we see examples of men who were serious about their faith in their generation. And because of their commitment, they had an impact. Their names have been recorded in Scripture. But as I said, remember, their roles were very different. Timothy would go on, as I said, to more or less be Paul's successor and to carry on to a certain degree his ministry. Timothy would be sent by Paul not only to Philippi, he would send him to Thessalonica, he would send him to Corinth. We know from the epistle to the Hebrews that Timothy himself would go to prison because the epistle there refers to his release from prison. And Timothy, as we know from the letters that Paul wrote to him, he was an evangelist, he was a preacher, do the work of an evangelist, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. He was a church leader, all of those things. Epaphroditus, he was different. He was a helper. He was more like a behind-the-scenes kind of a person. He wasn't somebody who was necessarily up front, but he was more of a behind-the-scenes person. But both of them were essential to the success of Paul's ministry. And so all of that to say that we all have different giftings and different callings and different tasks to accomplish, but all of them are important. And in the end, they all make a contribution toward the one great thing that God is doing, and that's the advancement of his kingdom. So let's not think of it in just a one-dimensional sense. Let's not just think of it as, you know, with the picture of Timothy, that's one picture, but let's remember a person like Epaphroditus, who's a brother, who's a fellow laborer, who's a fellow soldier, who's just right there alongside of the apostle, and he's helping him. He's bringing him things that he needs and so forth. So you see, there are many, many, many things for us to do. And God has called each and every one of us not only to be his children, but he's called us to be his servants as well. But the question is, are we going to rise to the occasion? The question is, will we have the same kind of attitude that Timothy had and just say, Lord, I want you. I want the things of the Spirit. I want to do your work. I want to give myself to you so that whatever you're wanting to do in and through my life can be accomplished. And so that others can look and say, you know, there's a person who genuinely cares about the work of the Lord. There's a person who is sincerely, there's a person who just has that inclination. And those are the people that God raises up, and those are the people that God uses. And finally, again, any one of us, we're all candidates. There's nothing special about any of us. We're all made of the same stuff. The only difference is some give themselves over entirely and some hold back. If we give ourselves entirely, Christ will be glorified, the gospel will be advanced, people will be saved, and great will be our reward in heaven. If we hold back, life will be frustrating. There will be a degree of disappointment always there because we're just never where the Lord would have us to be. And although in the end, if we've truly accepted Christ, we'll be in heaven, but even there, instead of having that abundant entry that Peter talked about, we might be there thinking, man, did I miss it? Man, did I blow it? All that God had intended for me, all that he had invested in me, all that he wanted to do that you would know then, and to realize that because you were self-seeking instead of Christ-seeking, it never was realized. It never happened. God had to get somebody else to do it. I don't want to be in that position myself. I don't want to be in heaven kicking myself, thinking, what was I doing? What was I thinking? I want to be going for it, like Timothy was and like Epaphroditus was. And so may God help us to do that.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse study of the book of Philippians in our next lesson as Pastor Brian continues with part one of Counting All Things Loss for Christ. But right now I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Faithful Servants. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0181. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/Pastor Brian Broderson. Also on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.